It's 33. Exodus 33. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My joy is complete when I sit at His feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep o'er my soul. Let's start reading here in verse 18. You know that Moses is the one speaking. And he's speaking to the Lord, and he said, I beseech thee, I beg thee, I ask thee, I entreat thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know, when we... Sovereign mercy is what I will talk about tonight. Sovereign mercy. You know, the Old Testament is, when you start with the book of Genesis, it's called the book of beginnings. That's where any truth you find there is where the foundation of it starts. You find the truth there, it'll carry out throughout the Bible. And that's the way it is, you know, when you get to Exodus. We have this precious, precious truth about our Lord Jesus Christ and His redemptive work, bringing us out with blood and power, bringing us out of bondage like He did Israel, bringing us from being slaves to being free men, bringing us from being servants of sin to being now servants of righteousness. And I tell you what, then you know, when He done all He did, because He made a promise to Abraham about Abraham's seed, which was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Leviticus, of course, it's about the gods of worship, the priesthood and the sacrifices and the providing of means for His people to worship Him. But right here, we're fixing to wind up the book of Exodus very soon. But it said here, Moses did, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now how in the world does someone speak of the glory of God? How do you speak of it? How do you describe it? He just says, show it to me. I won't see it. And who is sufficient for these things to tell the glory of God? Describe Him. How do you describe Him? Is not the buying and longing of the redeemed? Is it not the heart longing of the redeemed? And the goal of our redemption, to see the glory of God. To see God's glory. One of these days, we'll see it as He is. And you know, I'll tell you something. I can just show you in the Scriptures that we're going to reach that goal. We're going to see God's glory. Look with me in Revelation 22. I want to show you. Our goal is to behold the glory of God. And that's what Christ redeemed us for. To see God's glory in the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that's the longing of our hearts. That's the longing of our souls. To see God's glory. Look what He said here in Revelation 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Now listen to this. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's where we're going to end up. Started out over here in Genesis, over here in Exodus. Show me thy glory. And we end up seeing that city where God is the glory and the Lamb is the light. So that's our end. And He says, show me your glory. And you know, the only people interested in that is people that's had fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Moses had intimate fellowship with God. Look there in verse 11, back over here in Exodus 33. Look here in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friends. And I tell you what, this is the thing about it. The more you know of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you know, she played it, more about Jesus would I see. More of His love and grace for me. More of His saving fullness. More of His love who died for me. The more I know that you know of Him, the more you want to know Him. And the more you see God's glory, the more glory you want to see. You're never satisfied with your sight. You're always longing and desiring to see more. To know more. To hear more. And that's what Moses said. But God, David said, lift up your light on me. Lift up the light of your countenance on me. Oh Lord, let your glory shine on me. Shine on me. And I tell you, we're going to see His glory one of these days. We see it here. And I'll get into that. But this one should encourage us to pray. Moses prayed. And you know what he said, Lord? I want you to show you my glory. Now, you know, if you was coming to a king, and you know this king had this great kingdom, and had all this wealth, and all this power, and all this ability, would you come to him and ask him just for a little bit? You'd go to him and ask him for a lot. Well, that's the way it is. You're talking about a mouthful. And asking for a lot. Show me your glory. What more can you ask of Him than to show you me glory? Oh, let us all come to Him. One old hymn writer said, we're coming to a king. Let us with Him large petitions bring. It's His honoring to Him. And then God said to him, the Lord spoke back to Moses. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll make all my goodness. Now how in the world? That's another thing. How can you describe God's goodness? Huh? God's glory is His goodness. And here's the thing. Human definitions are worthless. Worthless to describe God's goodness. How can you possibly describe God's goodness? People say it's the good Lord. They say it like it's just something that's they say it so glibly. But here he said, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. God said, this is my goodness. My goodness. How do you talk about his goodness? How deep is it? How wide is it? How high is it? How full is it? How far does it reach? God's goodness. Huh? And his glory is seen in his goodness. You're talking about good. Good. When that rich young ruler came to Christ and said, Master, good master. That's what he called him, good master. And he is a good master. But what he was doing, trying to flatter the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned around and said, you're a good master. You're a good teacher. You're a good rabbi. So tell me what good thing I must do. And you know what Christ said? There ain't nobody good but God. Either you're going to say I'm God or you're going to hell. And he said, nobody's good but God. And if there's any goodness comes from a human being to another human being, it comes from the goodness of God that he gives you to express that to somebody else. And I tell you, you know, his goodness is seen in what he says. Oh, listen to his words. How good is God to say, come unto me. How good is God to say, I'll give my son. How good is God to say, listen, come unto me and I'll give you. Oh, and his words, oh, his words are so good. It was good words to Moses when he said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. And then you look at his deeds. How good are his deeds? Just look at yourself. And you'll get some idea, just a little idea of how good God is. If just look at what he's done for you. Look back when you was a child. God was good to you from the day you was born. He was good to you when you start being raised up. And he was good to you and all the days of your life. And then one day his goodness came to you and he made you know how good he really is. Amen. There's never been a day that God ain't been good to his people. And then, whoa, look at his gracious acts. His majesty, his kindness, brought to one word, goodness. How good is God in creation? The heavens declare his glory, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Every time that sun comes up, it's like a bridegroom. It says, running a race. He runs all the way across the sky and starts back. The moon comes and starts back. And he said, you know what? Every time that sun comes up, that's God speaking. And we see it. We see it. Oh, my providence. You read there. All things. All things. Work. Work. For good. Nothing's bad. For good. To who? Them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. There's never been any bad thing ever happened to me. Nothing. That's a foolish thing to say. It couldn't possibly be bad. Because God said it's good. Are we going to call him a liar? He said it worked for your good. Everything that's happened in our lives, everything. And I know it's hard for us to grasp that and get that, but he's good in making everything come to pass that works in our life to make everything work for our good. He's going to one of these days bring us down to our sick bed, bring us down to our last breath, And whatever it is that He uses to bring us down there, it's going to be good because we're going to end up in glory. And then we'll see the goodness of God then. Now ain't that something? Oh my, that blesses my heart. Oh my, and oh how good He was to His people and our Lord Jesus Christ. For God to be good to a creature, that's something. And we should be thankful for it. But that He good should be good to a sinful creature, now that's goodness. That He would give His Son as their substitute, as their sin offering, as their sacrifice, as their salvation, to be their all in all. That's goodness. That the Holy Spirit should come to us one day in the gospel and make His goodness and to make His glory and to make His salvation and to make Christ known unto us. That's goodness. No wonder Moses said, show me your glory. I'll show you what it is. I'm going to show you goodness. And oh my. And His goodness lies not only in what He does, but His goodness lies in His sovereignty. Look what He says again. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Now go back to Exodus 3. Go to Exodus 3. What is God's name? I was asking Gary the other day. I said, you know, he's got Adonai, Jehovah, Elohim. And they all mean some particular aspect of God. And one of these days, I'm going to figure out what Adonai is and Elohim is. And I know what Jehovah means. But I'm going to learn those things and find out what they mean. I'll explain them to you one of these days. So God said, I'll explain it to you. But, oh my. Look what He said here in Exodus 3:13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is His name? What am I going to tell them? God said unto Moses, just say, I am that I am. I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. God said, I am. What does that mean? That means there's a time, there was a time that He wasn't. I am. In eternity, I am. In time, I am. In eternity, I am. Who go? I am. Who are you? I am. I just am. Nobody like me. Nobody got a name like I do. Nobody existed before I did. That wouldn't be a foundation on this earth if I hadn't put it here. That wouldn't be a pillar to hold up the earth if I didn't put it here. Who sent me down here? I am. Well, I say, what's your name? Donnie Bell. That don't mean nothing to nobody, just a very few people. But when God says, I am, and they understood that what Christ meant when He said, before Abraham was, I am. You know what the scripture says? They pick up stones to stone Him. What are you going to stone me for? What good work? We're not going to stone you for a good work. We're going to stone you because you say you're God. They understood clearly when He said, I am, that He was who He was talking about. The same one that spoke to Moses on that mountain. That's why they pick up stones to stone Him. Because He said, I am. Oh my. And then look what He says back over here in our text. His goodness lies in His sovereignty. Oh, I love the sovereignty of God. I just love it. And I will be gracious to whom? You see, to whom I will. God's not bound to be gracious to no one. But He said, I will be gracious. I'll be gracious. He's not bound to be gracious to anyone. And then I'll show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Why does grace come first and mercy come second? That happens in a lot of the epistles that Paul wrote. Because grace was given us in Christ before the world began. That's the first thing that God does. He gives grace. We're saved by grace. Chosen by grace. Saved by grace. Kept by grace. Upheld by grace. We'll be taken to glory by God's blessed grace. We will not add one thing to our salvation. God said, I will be gracious to whom I will. That's why our Lord said, are you mad at me because I will do what I will do? Don't it all belong to me? One fella come out, give him a penny. Work 4 hours, give him a penny. Work 12 hours, give him a penny. That's not right. We worked all day. He said, I don't care what. He said, it's not right for me to do what I will with my own. And that's what people, they don't like the idea that... Listen, whatever belongs to you, I don't care what you do with it. If you got a... If it belongs to you, I don't care what you do with it. It's yours. It belongs to you. God gave it to you. I don't care what you do with it. And if we're that way, and ain't nobody's business what we do, it ain't nobody's business what God does, but His.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I'll be gracious. You know how many people He's not been gracious to in this world? But He said, I'll be grace. Grace is first in choosing us, loving us, providing for us, keeping us. Oh my. And then mercy. Mercy. Oh, mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Mercy is for those who are in distress, who feel a need. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. When? In time of need. And we come for help. Mercy is for people that's in distress. And I tell you what, ain't that what we preached on last week there in verse 7 of chapter 34? Keeping mercy. Merciful and gracious. Keeping mercy for thousands. And mercy is for those who are in distress, for those who have failed, for those who are pitiful, for those who need pity. And I'm going to say something right here and I can prove it. I can prove this. Mercy throughout this Bible is only manifested to God's people. He never shows mercy to anybody but His own. Do you know that? Well, listen. You know what He called? He said, I will show mercy. You know what He calls us? In Romans 8:9, vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. When that publican went to the Lord and beat on His heart, he said, God, be merciful to me. Now listen to what he said. The sinner. And ain't you, how many times have you've been pitiful? I mean, you've been in distress. Real distress. I mean, in such desperate need, and all you can say, Lord, be merciful. Show me mercy. Wake up in the middle of the night, oh God, be merciful to me. If you please, let me go back to sleep. Oh my. When Job, you know, I wanted you to see this in Jude, that last little book before the book of Revelation. Look at this verse right here. Jude, that last little verse before Revelation, last little chapter. Look in verse 21. Depths of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy, mercy. Look what he said here in Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking what? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I should have looked it up, but there's a place where Paul said, I pray that he obtain mercy in that day. Obtain mercy of the Lord in that day. And oh my. Ain't you glad that he's God?
Amen.
And grace is in his hands to give it to whom he will. And that he's merciful. And he'll show mercy to whom he will. He said, you can will all you want to. And you can run all you want to. But he said, there's one thing I know. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's of God that shows mercy. Huh? If it was my will and my desire is to see people know Christ. To enjoy Christ, to have the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ that we enjoy. We enjoy God. I enjoy God. Don't you? I enjoy Christ. I enjoy my salvation. I enjoy God's book. I enjoy you. All the things God, I enjoy it. If I enjoy it here, imagine what it's going to be like. But I enjoy it. And wouldn't you love the people that you know and love, wouldn't you love them to be brought to enjoy it the way we do? This is enjoyable. Ain't it? Oh boy. Then look what he says here. And he said to Moses, he's still talking to Moses now. He says, Moses, you can't see my face. He just said he'd talk with him face to face. For there shall no man see me and live. You know the last message that Cody Groover preached here? Was, can a man see God and live? That's the last message he preached here. In September. And he died that November. The Lord called him home November. But that's what it was, his title of his message. And that was the verse he used right there. Can a man see God live? Yes, he can. But you know where you see him at? You see God's glory in Christ Jesus. That's where you live. But that's why he told Moses, no man can see me and live. And so he gave him a way to see him and live. And you know where he gave him the place to see him and live? It's in a rock. Not only did he say put him in that rock, but said that I'm going to make you stand on the rock. Look what he said. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place right here, right here by me, right here at my right hand. Now he sits on his throne at his right hand. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. There's a rock right here. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Huh? Christ is that rock. He's the rock. Our rock is our salvation. Our rock is greater than their rock. Oh my. And it shall come to pass. And it will. It always does. While my glory passes by. Now listen, I love this right here. I will. You see what he said? I will. He didn't say crawl in there. Sneak in there. Hope you can make it in there. But he said, I am going to put you in the cleft of that rock. There's a little cleft in there. And Christ had a side that was riven. His side was riven with a spear. And his side was opened. And blood and water came out of that side. Blood to cleanse us from sin. Water to wash us and sanctify us. And he said, I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock. Oh my goodness. And then he said, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. It's one thing I put you there, then I'm going to put you in my hand. I'm going to keep you in my hand. Put my hand right there. Oh, our Lord said, Father, they're in my hand, then in your hand. And Tim James said, well, that's a double-fisted salvation. God's got you in both hands. Hand of the Lord and the hand of God. Whose hand? Well, that's wonderful hands to be in. Oh, what hands to be in. And oh my. And then he put him in there and he said, and I'm going to cover you with my hand while I pass by. I'm going to pass by you, Moses. I'm going to pass by you. I've done everything for you. I've done everything for you, Moses. And then when I put you in there, I'm going to take away my hand. And you're going to see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We see through a glass darkly right now. We're like Moses. We see through a glass darkly. Don't we? I mean, you know, for what little we know about God, you could put a thimble wouldn't hold it. I mean, a thimble wouldn't be enough. You know, we wouldn't even fill up a thimble with what we know about Him. We had such a, you look through a glass darkly. But I tell you what, that God said, put you in that cleft of the rock, and apart from the Lord Jesus, man cannot see and will not see the goodness of God. He will not see the glory of God. He will not see the grace of God. He will not see the mercy of God. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and being in Him, man will never see God's sovereign rights to do what He will and God's righteousness, how He saves sinners to His glory. Without Christ, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me. Oh Lord, would you let me? Would you just let me? Just let me hide myself in thee. Oh, Lord, be my hiding place. Let me hide in you. Safest place to hide from God's in God. Well, I told Cody Henson yesterday, I said, you know, I asked him to come preach, he won't be able to come, but he said, boy, there's some places you go, it's so easy to preach. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, preaching here is like preaching to the choir. And the choir knows the songs, and they love to hear the songs over and over and over. So I don't mind preaching to the choir. I'm going to go up north next week and preach to that choir up there. And I'm going to sing the same song. And they're going to enjoy the same tune. You know that? Amen. Our Father, oh our Father, in the precious, precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, you're so infinitely, gloriously good to your people. And Lord, we've experienced that goodness and that grace today, as we experience it every day. But there's times, Lord, when you give us an abundance. Oh, you make our cup absolutely run over. You make us so full that, Lord, we just bless you and praise you and thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy given us in Christ, our Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide.